Well, good morning, church. My name is Mark, and today is my last Sunday as one of the pastors here at McCabe. What a great day for a baptism. What better way to celebrate Father's Day than with a baptism? We give thanks for the fathers and for the father figures in our lives. You know, in the Christian church, maybe we should consider every day to be Father's Day. We think about God the Father, the one we've gathered to worship this morning, the one who loves us regardless of ourselves, the one who longs for a relationship with us. Let's pray. Well, holy and powerful God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations on each of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. You alone are our rock and redeemer. Amen. So do you remember Lou Gehrig? You remember the guy Lou Gehrig, the baseball player? He was almost indestructible. If you know Lou Gehrig, one of his nicknames was the Iron Horse. And he was called the Iron Horse because he was strong and powerful, and he was also comparable to a locomotive. Gehrig never got sick. Well, I don't know if he got sick. He never called in sick. He played in over 2,000 consecutive professional baseball games. That's over a decade without missing a game. They thought that record would never get broken. Another baseball great, Gil Hodges, he said, "You know, Lou Gehrig had one advantage over me." He said, "Lou was just a better ball player." Hank Gowdy, he said Lou Gehrig never learned that a ball player couldn't be good every day. Franklin Adams wrote, "Lou Gehrig's that guy. He's that guy that, well, he hit all those home runs the year Babe Ruth broke the overall record." Gehrig was a great baseball player. So it became noticeable when his body started failing him, but Lou Gehrig's coach wouldn't take him out of the game. It was Gehrig who finally went to his coach and said, "You know, coach, it's time. Take me out of the game." Gehrig was a quiet man full of integrity. He was great with the bat and glove. He was quiet and comfortable playing second fiddle to guys like, more flamboyant guys like maybe Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio. You know, as great as Lou Gehrig, the baseball player, was, we might remember him best for his speech on July 4th, 1939. Because it was at that point it was clear that Gehrig was dying from amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, what we now call Lou Gehrig's disease. It was July 4th, 1939. Gehrig stood before 60,000 fans at Yankee Stadium, and he spoke those words we still hear today. "Fans, for the past 2 weeks, you've been reading about the bad breaks I got, but I tell you, today, I consider myself the luckiest man alive. And church, I want to tell you that this morning, as I get to help lead worship for the last time here at McCabe, I will echo Lou Gehrig's words as he retired from baseball. Friends, today, I consider myself to be the luckiest man alive. We have a God of wonders. We have a God of power and mercy. We have a God who loves us and frees us and fuels us. I have a beautiful wife who loves me and stands with me, and with whom I love. I have great kids who make life richer than I could have imagined. I've been in a lot of churches over the years, but this church, McCabe, this is a special place. It's a special place not just because I grew up here, not just because my folks worship here every week. They were here this morning at 8 o'clock. This is a special place because of you. Serving with Pastor Jenny and your board. Serving with our worship leaders throughout the sanctuary and the body. Serving with a great staff, serving with each of you. Friends, it's been a joy and a privilege. We thank you for allowing us to be part of your family. And we'll cherish our time together. So Lou Gehrig, when he left the game of baseball, he was dying. As far as I know, I'm relatively healthy. Even so, I stand before you and say a little part of me is dying. A little part of me that I'll leave right here at McCabe. We're leaving McCabe with hundreds of friends we never knew before. It's been an awesome and a humbling journey. It hasn't always been easy. We've mourned together, we've sat in the hospitals together, we've battled and overcome challenges together. But there's also been good news and celebrations. There's been births and baptisms, new faces and new marriages, the new ministry experiences, just growing together. It's been a great adventure. Getting to serve Jesus with you. So through thick and thin, regardless of the easy and the hard, it has been a privilege. You know, I was visiting with a pastor friend of mine one time as we were talking about moving and transitions and all the mixed feelings that are involved. And we rested in the knowledge and the assurance, knowing that this is about the one who is much bigger than every one of us. This pastor friend commented, you know, well, for me, every change that we made just kept getting better. And I looked at him at that time, I said, and I will continue to say, well, if that's the case, hold on, world. Because it's been pretty darn good right here. Your grace has been much appreciated. I'm confident God's not done with me yet. But I'm also confident that God isn't done with you. And so I'll continue to look forward from a distance to seeing and reading about the work McCabe is doing for the kingdom of God. In a nutshell, Paul's words to the church at Philippi, they sum up my thoughts and feelings this morning. Well, most of them, because not really that part about being in prison. Although, again, I guess we do each have our own spiritual or emotional or physical prisons, don't we? And so I conclude today with this morning's scripture from Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 2 and following. God is speaking through the Apostle Paul, and his words reflect my feelings for you. The Apostle Paul wrote, "May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue to work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you, and I long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God." Friends, today and every day, I give thanks for you. Today, I consider myself the luckiest man alive. And altogether, the people said, amen. Friends, as we enter this time of offering, we come before God. We might have a monetary offering, but we come before God during this time of offering, wrestling with God, receiving God's voice, thinking about how God is speaking to us and encouraging us to take the next step in our journey of faith.